EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs that are?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
Howdy, dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, Bob, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and Happy New Year to each and every one of you. I wish you all the very best for the coming year. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. To start 2023 off, our first guest of the year is Jade in Arizona, and Jade will be sharing an experience she remembers from the early 1980s. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Jade. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on today, and you're calling from the state of Arizona.
Correct.
Lovely. Now, Jade, you have some strange experiences to share with our listeners. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Sure. They're kind of all over the place with different years in different order. I used to live on the East Coast in New Jersey, so a lot of this happened there, actually, not here. Some of them happened here, but mostly there. And we moved around to different towns. And no matter where we were, there was always something happening. The first one I was going to speak of was in around 1984, I want to say. Something was trying to get into our house in the back door. And I was about 11. And I woke up to my parents running around the house yelling about something. And I got out of bed and went out to the kitchen. And the kitchen door was there. And my dad, he's a mechanic at the time. He was very strong and he was holding on to that doorknob and he just could not. He kept saying, "I can't hold it. I can't keep them out." And I was yelling, "What's going on?" You know, and he kept saying, "They're coming in. They're coming in." And he was telling my mom to call the police. So my mother runs over to the phone and we had the old rotary dial phone. So it takes a while to dial. And she starts dialing and that's all we remember. And now we've had lots of experiences in my life, but this one particular one we never spoke of until I brought it up maybe 5 years ago. Not one. It was always in my memory, but no one ever spoke of it. For some reason, we all remember up to the same point, the dialing and then blank. And then we just went on with our lives. But about a day or two later, I was outside watching my brothers and sisters playing outside. And this guy in a hazmat suit just comes around the corner and starts scanning the telephone pole area and walking around the border of the property. And I'm yelling to him, what are you doing? So I walked right up to him, and I must have been about 10 inches, a foot away from him. And I kept asking him what he was doing. And he just ignored me like I wasn't there at all. And he was wearing all white hazmat suit with the face covering and everything. And he had a Geiger counter in his hand. And the thing went up all the way, you know, all the way to the end when the lights all lit up across this thing. And then he spray painted some marks on the ground. So I run in the house and I'm yelling to my mom, you know, there's a guy in a hazmat suit. She says, I know, they're all around the house. And she's looking out the window, and there must have been five or six of them walking around the property. They went around the back and back to the front. And when I went back outside, they got into this unmarked white van and just drove away. And at this point, you know, small town, all the neighbors are out in the street. They're asking me what's going on. I said, I have no idea. I'm just a kid. And we never found out what that was about. It was very strange. No one ever came to the door or anything. But that Geiger counter went all the way up. So there must have been radiation there. It was bizarre. We had had lots of weird experiences, but, you know, lots of ships, I want to say, because they looked like spaceships. Another time at that house, I was just watching TV one night, and I had the front door was open, and I could see outside a little from the screen. And I see something out of the side of my eye, and I walk outside onto the porch, and I'm watching this enormous round saucer-shaped ship landing on Ramapo Mountain from, you know, in the distance. And it had like red and amber and green lights spinning around it. So it starts going down in this diagonal very slowly. And after a couple of minutes, I'm just standing there watching this. And my mom comes outside. She says, what are you looking at? And we started together watching this ship. And then it just went straight down, either on the mountain or behind it. And it took a while. You know, it was not a quick process. And this thing was enormous. You know, another ship again. There are so many that, I mean, that one was in the summertime. So I couldn't believe that nobody else saw it or talked about it. I never heard about it anywhere. I actually tried to find it online, just couldn't find it. Let's see, another time with another ship. We used to live in Garfield when I was younger. This was 1978. So I was very young. I was woken up in the middle of the night to this loud beeping, humming thing going on. It was very loud. And I came out into the living room because my parents were yelling. And my dad runs outside, and he, you know, nobody would tell me what's going on. So my dad comes running back in the house, and he says, it landed on the roof. It's on the roof. Call the police. And so he said that it was a spaceship. So my mother calls the police, and the police are telling her they're not coming because they've had so many calls all night long about something in the sky. So they never actually showed up. But a little while later, he ran back outside and it was gone. Whatever it was, we still don't know what happened with that one. So we've had a lot of experiences with that. I've seen lots of ships in the sky. I just grew up thinking that was all normal. Another time, early 80s as well, I was watching TV with my mom, and we were watching a lightning storm also because the power had just gone out. So I'm looking up at the sky with her, and there's stars, what looked like stars. It was dusk, so it was still light out, but we could see all the stars way up there out of the atmosphere. It was hundreds of them, and they were forming clusters. Like, it looked like a giant meeting or something going on. One would shoot across to another cluster, these little lights, and they were just all over the sky. And then they would shoot up and disappear. It was like bizarre. We were joking that it was an alien invasion. But it was, you know, one of those things that you just never forget. I mean, they would shoot off in arcs, diagonals, and then disappear. It was like clusters of them, groups. I still have no idea what that was. Another incident with a ship was about 2009 or 10, and that was here in Arizona. I was driving my kids to school, and I saw this acorn shape chrome thing. just like floating around really strangely over by the mountain near our house. And it went down. It looked like it crashed into the mountain. And then the next day I had told my friend about it, who lives on the East Coast in Pennsylvania. And she said, you have to talk to our friend. And he called me and he said he saw two of those the same day being chased by some military craft. But, you know, that's across the country. So it was really odd. But I saw this in the paper at the same time. There was a picture of it one day because they had lost some Mach 5 ship in the ocean or something, they said. And then the next day I saw a different picture of a, like more like a plane. And then for a couple of days, they kept having these articles about this lost Mach 5 plane. And every day it was a different photo of a plane. It was very weird. The last one I saw looked like a plane with the sides of the wings pointed upward. It didn't look anything like what we saw. And when I looked it up, just recently, I was looking it up to see if I could find those old articles, and I cannot find it anywhere on the internet. It's just gone. But they were talking about it in the news like almost every day about this missing plane. So I'm wondering if that's what they were trying to avoid, maybe this acorn-shaped thing. It wasn't very big, but it was chrome, and it went down into the mountain. So it crashed, whatever it was. Another experience was 2017 or 18 again here in Arizona. I was watching this large, bright white light in the distance. It wasn't too far, but it was far enough. And I said, oh, wow, I'm going to go get my binoculars and see if I can see it closer. Whatever this was, it was moving strangely. So it was coming towards me, it looked like. So I thought maybe it was an illusion, you know, something like a star. So I went out there, and by the time I got back outside, it was closer. I said, okay, this is not a star. So I called my daughter outside. I said, you have to see this. And by the time she walked outside, it had already gone to our yard, and it was right above us, maybe 15 feet above our heads. And it went between the houses, above our heads. And we just stood there looking up at this thing. And it was flying very slowly, and then it just kept going, you know, out into the front and beyond. And it was like there was no shape to it, but it was maybe 3 or 4 feet, maybe 3 feet across. It was just a very bright, it was like looking at an LED, but brighter. It was like fuzzy around the edges. I want to say it was a ball, but I'm not totally sure about the shape because I couldn't see it. It was too bright, but it just went so slowly and so low with no sound at all. Nothing. It was bizarre. But this was, you know, just another incident. Other things that have happened to me were not always UFO related, I think. I remember when my son was born in 2000, it was the 24th of November that I came home with him, and my sister and my brother came to see him, and we were sitting in the room, and he was sleeping on the bed, and we both, all three of us happened to notice these three little white balls fly in through the door and into this crawl space door. It was strange. They were about the size of softballs, maybe, and we just looked at each other. We said, did you see that? And we all just saw it, you know, we don't know what it was, but we went into the crawl space and we didn't see anything. So that was the end of that one. I've also had some other paranormal experiences. One experience with a Bigfoot, back in, the same house where all this other crazy stuff happened, when I was a kid in New Jersey. That was in Haskell, by the way, about 1983. It was snowing one night, and it was like a full moon. It was so bright. I remember before going to bed, I looked outside, and it was beautiful. But I woke up in the middle of the night, and I looked out my window, which was right above my bed. And I could see clear across because of the snow and the moonlight, and I could see the next door neighbor. We had like a little driveway right there and no trees or anything. And they had this big, nasty shepherd type dog. It was like a mix, and they kept it on a really, really thick chain because it stayed outside 24/7. They were strange people. this dog was violent. I mean, that's why they kept it on such a heavy chain. It was thick. And I heard something. I don't know. He started to bark very loudly. So I'm looking outside to see why he's barking so much, because I've never heard him like do that before. And nothing. I couldn't see anything. And then I laid back down and I hear him yelping and like in pain, it sounded like. And then he started to go off in the distance and it started to go away. And I said, what is that? And I looked up and I still couldn't see anything at all. It was just the house and the moonlight and everything. And I didn't see him or what was going on. But behind our house, we had a man-made swamp and what we used to call the pipeline. It was like, I guess they ran pipes under there, you know, behind our house. So I heard him going up the pipeline. And the next morning, when I went outside, there was a big footprint right next to my window. It was huge, huge. And it was right where the snow barely touched because of the eaves over the house. The roof didn't really, it covered where the snow was falling. So we could still see the footprint. My friend and I were looking at it and it had to be, I don't know, it was just gigantic. And it was barefoot. I could see the toes and everything, but it was right next to my bedroom window. And the neighbor was knocking on doors looking for his dog. He said the dog was gone and the chain was broken. So we offered to help look, but we didn't go looking. He already had come back at that point and said that he found him dead. We saw the blood being dragged up the pipeline. And it was really scary to think of. You know, I always thought maybe that was Bigfoot, because this dog, nobody, no human could get near this dog. He would have ripped you apart. But we saw the blood and he said he found him down the road on the pipeline all the way down the other end on this little hill. And he was ripped up, he said. He didn't give us details at that point, but and we didn't want to know. It was just one of those things, you know, very strange. Other stuff, paranormal stuff, in that same house. We had so many things happen in this house. We used to hear humming, like a woman humming in the house, mostly in the cellar. We had one of those cellars where you had to go outside and lift up the two, like the door. It was one of those heavy doors. And we had to do laundry downstairs. So one time my mother went downstairs to do laundry and I hear her yelling for me. So I go running outside and the door was closed and it had slammed shut. And this is not one of those doors that the wind can blow over. I mean, it was so heavy. You had to pull your entire body weight to lift this door. And somehow that door slammed shut and we heard the humming. I went down to get her and it was this woman. It was, it was like happened maybe 3 or 4 times in that house with the humming in the basement, like a song. And right behind our house, like I said, we had that swamp. Another time I had looked out the window one night and I saw this white woman in like all white though, in the middle of the swamp. It was like a dress. She looked like she was wearing a dress. And there was, I know people would say, oh, swamp gases, you know, but I know it wasn't a person because you couldn't walk in the swamp. You would sink. But it looked exactly like a woman and it was like a glowing white. It was something my mother and I both experienced. Very strange stuff. That was about 83, 84 too. This is all around the same bunch of years. Now this one is going to be a little, I know everybody's going to be skeptical about this one, but I used to live in PA for a few years. After my son was born, we moved to Pennsylvania and then I also had my daughter. So this is around 2005, 2006, near Lake Wallenpaw Pack area. We had moved into this really cheap old house and it was, you know, needed a lot of work. It was falling apart. I had the neighbor across the street tell me one time that somebody from the mafia used to own this house and he owned all 3 houses in a row there. So there was the neighbors and then the other one on the corner. And I just thought, okay, that's really strange. And after living there for a few years, we had gotten this really old 100-year-old door that was recovered from a fire it was like a glass door, and we put it upstairs because the stairs going down, we had like an upside down house. The living room was upstairs and the kitchen was upstairs and the bedrooms were downstairs. So the stairs there were very steep. So we put the door up because of the kids. And one day I'm in the office upstairs. I was working and I start hearing my name downstairs calling me, and it sounds like my dad. He doesn't live anywhere near me, but so I thought, did he just come over and he's yelling for me? So I go downstairs. Nobody else is home. And I go downstairs and there's nobody there. There's no car, nothing. And this had happened a few times where it was either my ex-husband at the time or my dad calling me, you know, very demanding like. And I just thought, okay, I'm losing my mind. And then one day I'm at the computer and I hear my name very loudly in the room with me. And I turn because it startled me. And I see this man, young guy, he must have been in his 20s, black hair, kind of curly, wavy. And he yells at me and he's like, "Raw!" And he was making this face and my hair blew back from it. It was like right in my face. And I just yelled and I was so angry. I yelled back at him. I said, "Get out of my house." I knew it was a ghost. It seemed, you know, it wasn't real. I couldn't see his body, but I saw his face. And at this time, I had suspected there may have been something going on in the house because my kids used to wake up in the middle of the night and screaming about some guy in a long coat. And I started thinking, okay, there's something happening here. So at this point, it was like normal almost, you know, it was more annoying than anything. But I got the feeling that this ghost liked scaring people. I think he got off on it. He was like making these smirky faces when he did it. And one night I was walking from doing the laundry downstairs by the bedrooms. I was taking the laundry upstairs to fold it. And I was carrying a basket and I happened to look over between the two rooms. There was my room and the kids' room across from each other. And in between those two rooms, it was a little dark in that area. And I happened to notice this guy in a long coat. He was an old guy. He wasn't the same guy I saw the last time. And he was wearing a brown coat. And he just looked at me. His hands were in his pockets. It looked like a trench coat. And he just looked at me and ignored me, you know, and he was staring at my kid's bedroom door, just standing there. And I just was like, okay. And I went back upstairs and I got the feeling that he was maybe watching them, like maybe keeping the other one away from them. I don't know. I don't think he was the one that was scaring them though. Another night, my son, who was maybe 4 at the time, he's screaming in the middle of the night. And I run in there and he's in the corner of the bed, just shaking like a leaf. I couldn't stop him. I put the light on. He was shaking and shaking and yelling, still yelling when I put the light on still. And I finally calm him down and he tells me he had a dream about Tinky Winky. And if you don't know what Tinky Winky is, he was the big scary purple dude in a TV show for children. I forget what it was called at this point, but he was a character. There were aliens in the show. They were supposed to be aliens. And Tinky Winky was a big one that had a man's voice. And that alone is scary. So after this experience, I said, okay, Teletubbies. That's what it was. I said, no more Teletubbies in the house. We're not watching that ever again. But he said that Tinky Winky spoke to him in his mind. And I was like, okay, that's enough. And I always wondered if that had something to do with everything else that was going on. But anyway, one day after I had to move out. So at the time, my cat was missing. So I kept going back to the house to try and look for the cat at night. And one night I had gone there with my mother and we were looking for my cat. And we went into the house and upstairs. And as we were walking from the living room to go to the stairs, to go towards upstairs, I happened to notice somebody standing in the hall downstairs between the old bedrooms. And I said, "Oh, Mom, just keep moving. You know, let's go." You know, I tried to hurry her along a little bit. And she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Just go." So we start walking quite fast, you know, to get up the stairs. And she happened to turn around and see it coming, you know, behind us. And she starts screaming. And we're running up the stairs at this point and slam the glass door shut at the top of the stairs. And here comes this young guy with the wavy hair. And he's standing in the doorway, but he never came through the glass door. And she's screaming. She picks up the butcher knife that's still on the counter. I said, that's not going to do anything. Put the knife down. You know, I mean, we're in a panic, but she was freaking out. She didn't believe me because I had told her there was something going on in the house. And we ran out the kitchen door and out the side. We had a porch there, so we were able to get out that way instead of going down through the front door. And we never went back. And it was, I mean, I did find my cat, but never went back inside the house again. It was, he was like making this face through the glass at me, like smiling and just nasty. And she said she only saw a shadow, a black shadow, like a black, thick shadow thing, but I could see his face. So I don't know what the deal was with that. But that was probably the scariest poltergeist we had ever in my life. Another ghost type of experience was at this house in Clifton, New Jersey, when I was a kid. My grandmother was in a wheelchair and she needed a nurse's aide. So the nurse's aide came to our house every day. And we were all in the living room and you had a straight line through the hall to the kitchen. You could see the back door right there, the living room. And we all heard the door open. It was myself, my grandmother, the nurse's aide, and my mom. And we all just glanced over to see who walked in the back door. And it was a guy, a man in a top hat. And it just looked like he was wearing all black, like a suit maybe. And we looked at each other and thought, okay, that's strange. And I remember going to the kitchen and nobody was there. And another time was, well, several times I used to sit home with my grandmother when my parents went like grocery shopping or whatever at night. And we used to always hear someone walking across the attic from one end to the other, just back and forth, back and forth. And you could hear their shoes and everything. And we would tell my parents, you know, somebody walking up in the attic. And my dad would always go up there and look and there's nothing there. And we just kind of got used to that. This house was about 100 years old. And the woman downstairs who owned it, she was in her 90s at the time, I think 92 or 91. And she said her husband died in the house. So I thought, well, maybe it's him. Another time was when we came home. It was like the night before Christmas Eve and I was all excited. We had gone to Toys R Us and blah, blah, blah. And I ran upstairs by myself because we were on the second floor. And right next to our kitchen door was another door to the attic. And I heard that attic door slam and I heard someone run up the stairs. So I dropped the bags and I ran back outside. I was freaking out and I said, somebody's in the attic. And my dad went up there and he couldn't find anybody. There was nothing up there. He went up there and looked in all the corners and with flashlights and, you know, nothing was there. So very strange stuff throughout my life. Lots of other experiences. And I don't know if this has anything to do with anything, but I did start thinking about all the times I had been around lightning strikes. Like my whole life. I saw a fireball when I was a kid just fly down the street and we heard it crash up the road and all the power went out. Another time, lightning struck the house and the TV caught fire. When I was really young, I remember lightning struck the house somehow. I don't know if it came in through the window or what happened, but the picture on the wall was shattered. Another time here in Arizona, we had this air conditioning where it was like the unit was in the crawl space up in the, like towards the roof in the front. And it struck, I guess the man who came to fix it said it struck it and it broke it. The AC went off. Everything just shut down on for the air conditioning. And I saw when I was standing in the kitchen, I saw this ball of what looked like a white tumbleweed just sitting on the ceiling for like a second when it happened, you know, the big bang noise and then all of a sudden the white tumbleweed and that was it. And it fried the air conditioning and I went outside and luckily it was downpour. So whatever, if there was a fire, it was out, but there was pieces of the roof all over the driveway. Another time, also here in Arizona, I was driving my Jeep home during a storm, and all of a sudden the Jeep just turned off for a second, and I was waiting, you know, I could hear something like bang, you know, a bang noise, and I thought the Jeep blew up, and then it came right back on. So all the electrical was lighted, like in the dashboard lights were all lighting up and everything was all crazy. The windshield wipers went on and off, and I ended up taking it to the Jeep dealership over here, and they said that there was a lightning strike underneath, and they found the spot in the back, and it fried the electrical. So that's five times that I remember being around lightning, which is very strange. I mean, I'm glad I was never struck, but it was always around me. Yeah, just all kinds of strange stuff.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
I even have an experience with Clinton Road in West Milford in New Jersey, which I recently did some research and found out that apparently other people have had experiences there too. Back in the early 90s, I was driving a friend home up that road, and there's no lights on that road. It's just pitch black. And we happened to see this huge black dog with bright red glowing eyes sitting on the side of the road. And I had this little car. It was a VW Golf. And it was bigger. It was taller when it was sitting there. And I went around it a little bit. I kind of went into the other lane a little to get away from it because I didn't know what that was. And my friend turned around and I was looking in the rearview mirror to look. And we still saw those red eyes. It was like looking at us. Another time, we had been leaving down that road, coming out instead of going in. And it's kind of like a little bit of a mountainous, like you had a lot of curves and stuff. And we were being followed like bumper to bumper by this truck. It was like a pickup truck. And I was ready to pull over. It was bizarre, you know, but luckily we were almost to the end of the road, so I didn't have to. But my parents had to drive that road one day, and they said they were chased by a pickup truck. It was like both ways, you know, in and out, on the way in and on the way out is when we experienced ours. And it was just bizarre stuff. And I found that experience strange because I found out that weird New Jersey had also noted some experiences like that with a truck and a dog. They were calling it the hellhound. But so much stuff. I think I've just been surrounded by weird stuff my whole life, and it just became like part of life, like normal. I've seen lots of other ships in the sky or something, UFOs in the sky, different lights moving around in ways that were impossible. Most of it happened in New Jersey, though. Ironically, you know, it was all around that area. I lived in Haskell, where most of this stuff happened, which is right next to Wanacue. And I remember when I was a kid going to Wanacue because they had the Channel 4 newscast, news people there about spaceships going into the reservoir. And we wanted to go watch it, you know, them talking about it. But it was like the next town over. So it wasn't that far. Lots of weird stuff.
Interesting.
I think that's most everything I'm going to talk about.
You have it all.
Very odd, right?
When the storm clouds start coming over, when you're with friends and stuff, do they say, Jade, we're going to head off now?
I don't tell my too many people about this stuff.
No one's going to be really want around you when you have all this electrical activity.
Yeah, I have tried over the years to mention it to a person here and there, and they immediately cut me off and be like, there's an explanation for that. There's always an explanation for that. And they kind of make me feel like, okay, I shouldn't talk about this with them. Most people don't want to hear about it. They think it's strange or that I'm imagining things or something like that, you know, so I don't really bring it up too often.
Understandable. And, you know, a lot of my listeners and guests can certainly relate to that.
I'm sure.
But just now and again, you'll meet someone that, you know, is on the same wavelength, I guess.
Yeah, I've mentioned a couple of things over the years to people that I think that might be able to listen to it, but there's just so much. I would usually just talk about one or two things. I mean, there's just too much. I didn't even talk about everything on this show. I mean, there's always like lights in the sky and things like that.
Well, the good news is, Jade, that, you know, now you've told thousands of people, like-minded people, mind.
Yeah, I know. Just the sound of that, though, is...
So you're in safe hands. 1984 in Haskell. That's very strange. Your dad was holding the door handle saying, I can't keep them out.
Yeah.
Did you ever ask your parents?
Yes.
What your father was trying to keep out?
At the time, for some reason, I just knew that it was aliens. I don't know if someone said it or if I just knew it. I can't remember. But I never spoke about it. None of us brought it up in conversation ever until I did about 5 years ago. I called each of my parents separately and I said, do you remember this one night? And I said, what do you remember? And they both told me the same exact thing. Mom started dialing and then that was it. And we never, ever talked about it. And we've talked about other stuff. I mean, so many other things. But with that one incident, for some reason, none of us ever brought up in conversation for all these years. And I never knew why. It was always there. It's not like I just suddenly remembered it. It was always part of my memories of growing up. And it was always clear in my memories. But for some reason, not once did it ever come up in conversation. I don't know why. There is one other incident I should probably bring up too. It's not UFO related, I don't think, but I'm not sure. Back in 2002, when I was living in Pennsylvania, I used to drive back and forth to Jersey to visit my parents like several times a week. And I was pregnant at the time with my daughter, and my son, who was about a year old, was in the back seat sleeping in his car seat. And it must have been around 8 or 9 p.m. So it was dark out because it was winter. And I used to take Route 84 from Port Jervis all the way to Pennsylvania, where we lived. And one night I was driving and I happened to look over at the Dingman's Ferry sign. And I looked at the clock and I just wanted to see what time I'd be getting home. I had about 25 minutes before I got to my exit. It was a very long road. And all of a sudden I blinked and I was surrounded by 18 wheelers. I mean, there was nobody on the road a second ago. And now I have an 18 wheeler in front of me, on the side of me, and in back of me. And I went from the slow lane to suddenly being in the fast lane, surrounded by 18-wheelers, and I would never pass an 18-wheeler. I never did that. It was just a shock, and I panicked for a second. I said, oh my God, where am I? And after the one 18-wheeler got out of my way so I could finally get back over to the other lane, I noticed I had passed my exit. And I looked at the clock, and almost an hour and a half, about an hour and 20 minutes had gone by, I think. And I was like, what just happened? I was maybe a mile past my exit and I didn't know where I was because I'm not familiar with the area. So I had to call a friend of mine who lives in Pennsylvania to ask for directions to get me back to the other side because I didn't know how far up I was or anything. It was like an hour and 20 minutes of lost time. And there's no way I was tired because I was wide awake. And even if I was tired, I never would have drove my car. And I certainly wouldn't have been able to drive all the way up the road like that, you know, without being awake. You know, there's no way I could have done that. It was just so strange. And I always wondered about that night. So I don't know what happened that night, ever. I mean, I never figured it out. Nothing ever made sense.
Very strange. You'd gone past your exit and an hour and 20 minutes had elapsed.
Right. And I was only about a mile past the exit. So from that one sign, I had about a 25-minute drive to my exit. So that time didn't make sense either.
Yeah, that's very peculiar, that is.
Yeah.
Very possible that something could have happened.
I always wondered about it.
It's like you were just kind of just dropped there.
I guess. Or maybe I passed through a time warp or something. I don't know. I don't have any recollection of that time. I suddenly blinked and I was right there. It was like so strange. And I wasn't tired at all because I would never have driven if I was, you know, not pregnant and not with my son in the car and all of that.
Of course.
It was just so odd. So anyway, another experience.
Another experience. And, it could well tie in with your early experiences in Haskell and also Garfield.
Garfield when I was little in 78, the one that landed on the roof.
Mm. There's things which have gone on that your parents have been aware of.
Yeah.
But it might be worth maybe, have you ever tried to revisit these times?
My mother and I have talked about these times together many times. She's had her own experiences herself. And, you know, she had told me about hers and we talked about some of these, but nothing ever comes of it. We don't have any answers, basically. It's just all questions.
Yeah, and they're the worst.
Yeah. It's like all over the map with every different thing, but I moved around so much as a kid and I lived in many different areas and went to so many different schools. And no matter where I lived, this always happened. You know, stuff just always happened. Even here in Arizona, I move across the country and I'm still seeing things happening around me. So it's weird stuff.
Yeah. I mean, your Bigfoot sighting was interesting. I mean, New Jersey has always had a history for Bigfoot sightings.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see Bigfoot itself. I just saw the footprint, but it was enough for me.
Yeah.
And in the snow and untouched because it was morning, you know. And the dog next door dying. Gosh, that was the most horrific sound. That yelping and just, it sounded like in pain all the way up the pipeline in the opposite direction of the house. It was strange.
Yeah, that is something you hear now and again. They don't seem to like dogs barking at them, which makes a lot of sense because, you know, they're giving away their location, aren't they?
I always wondered if it was barking because it saw this Bigfoot looking in my bedroom window. Because you had a straight line of sight to where the dog was from my bedroom window. It was just all open there. And maybe he saw it and started barking like crazy. And that was the end of it.
How far off the ground was your window, like say from the outside?
I'd say maybe 4 or 5 feet. It was a very small house, tiny, one of those little modulars. It wasn't far off the ground, but that creeped me out. You know, going to sleep at night was a little hard for a while after that.
Right. I would have boarded up the windows, knowing that potentially something could be looking through like that.
My mother said she heard a weird yelling sound, but I don't remember it. All I remember is the dog. That really disturbed me, you know, so I'm not sure what that was, but... See, I didn't mention it because I don't want to talk about someone else's experiences. I only talk about my own, what I can verify. We've all had some weird stuff in that house. But oddly enough, my other siblings haven't had experiences. Not like we have, like my mother and I. And it was just always mostly us. And my dad was involved in some of them, of course. But, you know, the rest of the family, they don't even talk about this kind of thing. They think we're nuts. It's very odd.
Or maybe they just don't, you know, don't remember or don't want to remember.
They were very young, but I remember, I have memories back to when I was an infant in my crib. So I remember a lot of stuff. Maybe they just blocked it. I don't know.
And the mafia house.
The mafia house, yeah.
Yeah.
The mobsters.
The mobster.
I saw two ghosts in that house and one used to bother me and the other one just stood there.
And your child mentioned the long coat as well. Of course, that's what they used to wear, didn't they? The trilby hats and the long coats.
It looked like that, yeah, like a trench coat.
Trench coat, right. These houses by the lakes that a lot of mafia members used to run
more often than not have a history of paranormal activity. I know the Al Capone's house, he had a house up in Michigan, up on the lake.
Wow. That's really wild. Where we had Lake Wallenpaupack was a vacation area, so most of the houses were empty for most of the year. They would come in the summer. So most of my neighbors weren't even there. Like, and we lived in the middle of nowhere. It was like a cul-de-sac we had a big property with trees. I mean, it was pretty isolated there. So I'm not surprised they had a house there.
Yeah, not surprised. And all the people, which the other gangsters that go through there, and, you know, what with their bootlegging and gambling. And
yeah,
I'm sure someone may have disposed of a body or someone had died there. You know, you never know with these.
Maybe a couple.
Exactly.
I know they used to gamble because the one house that they, the guy on the end there, they had won in gambling. They won. They put this little tiny dinky house up in a game. So they were probably... Who knows what they were doing over there? But the one that used to bother me, he was kind of a nice looking guy. He was, you know, curly-ish, wavy black hair, nice face, but nasty. He used to make these faces at me like he just loved it. Like he was so happy to scare me, you know. And this one time that he scared me, I yelled at him and I said, "Get out of my house." You know, and I said, "Just get out." And he just didn't care.
He enjoyed tormenting you.
He loved it. The look on his face was just like this happy smirk, you know, but he looked like a psycho, like that's that kind of psycho smile, you know?
Right, right.
It was bizarre.
Unsavory characters.
Yeah. He must have been a troublemaker because he was pretty young when he died, or at least I think he was because he was young when I saw him. But I never saw his feet. It was always just his head or like half a body. And he was always wearing black, or maybe he was just a black shadow, but I could see his face, you know, I'm not sure. But the other guy, the old guy, I could see he was wearing a light brown trench coat.
Interesting. It'd be interesting to know the history of that house.
I've tried, and there's no history. In fact, when we bought the house, the title had been forged with a different year of, you know, and everything. So they had lied about the year for some reason. I don't know why. We found out later on from the neighbors who knew this house that it had been built 10 years before what's written on the title.
Okay. So there you go then. So something, yeah. Obviously something had gone on.
Yeah.
And they wanted to cover it up.
Yeah. It was built in the 60s instead of the 70s. And I had looked for it recently on Google Earth, and it had been torn down and another house is there now. So, but and nobody ever lived there. Like when we moved in, the house had been vacant for like 20 years, and there had been maybe one family there for a year, and they just moved out after that. So nobody could ever stay in that house. It was abandoned when we got it. It was really strange, falling apart. You know, nobody had taken care of it, but that's how we got it so cheap.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. It's a shame when they tear down these old houses.
No, it needed to be. It was not safe.
Not safe.
No, like the middle of the house was starting to sink in, and we had to put something in the crawl space to lift it up in the middle. I don't remember the details of that, but it wasn't probably safe anymore.
It makes you wonder if the spirits are at rest now.
I don't know. Maybe.
Or still doing what they enjoyed.
Yeah, I don't know if it comes with the house or the property or what.
Excellent stuff. Okay, I nearly, you know, earlier when you were saying about the Teletubbies. I nearly jotted in and come in and said, Teletubbies. Yes, the Teletubbies.
Oh, you should have. Save me the...
I was going to leave till later. Remember. Yeah, no, that was a British TV show. And
yeah, we had to ban the Teletubbies in the house after that.
Yeah, scary stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Tinky Winky was scary to begin with. His voice was like this. It was like a man's voice. Yeah. And when my son started saying, he was talking to him, and I said, "What did he say?" He said, "He was talking to me in my mind." And I was like, "Oh my God." You know, he was shaking like a leaf and screaming. I just couldn't believe it. It was just the scariest thing. I've never seen him like that before.
Yeah, but that was pretty scary. I mean, the Teletubbies, the TV show was scary at the best of times with the baby yeah. That was the son. And
yeah, that's right. So we stuck to Brum after that.
Good stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, Jade.
Thank you. I'm very happy though to be able to get it all out. It feels good to talk about it. Thank you.
You should be. And that's, you know, that's what it's all about. I don't look at this show as being entertainment. It's more of a format for people to come and share. Mm-hmm. Like a campfire, you know, like all around a campfire.
Yeah. I always go through your episodes looking for someone that had experiences where I used to live in that area. I don't see much. I see a few things, you know, nearby, you know, Hudson Valley, that kind of thing. But because that's only a hop, skip, and a jump away from where I lived by air, right? So I always wondered, you know, nobody in that area where I lived talks about anything online or anything. I can't find anything from Wanaque or Haskell.
Now and again, I'll release an episode where someone would be, say, like an area of Texas, for instance, and then I'll have people go, "Oh, I heard I heard Mark from Texas. I want to share my experience from that area." So that does happen. All right, I'll get emails from people asking me, "I've been through all the episodes and stuff, and I'm trying to find this particular account." And if it's an account like yourself where you've had several different things happen, and of course, I won't remember because so many people's accounts, I have about a billion. I can't always remember specifically which account was with that person, unless it's just one episode with just one story. That's no problem.
I'm anxious to see if anyone else steps forward now, because I know Wanaque was considered a hotspot because we had Channel 4 News there when I was a kid, you know, about them the ships landing in the reservoir. So somebody had to have seen some of these things.
Well, let's put a call out then. So if you live in the
Haskell, Haskell, and the next town right next to it is Wanaque. Haskell used to be part of Wanaque at one point in the long distant past. But now it's just its own town. Small. It's like a mile long, this thing. It's like small town.
Okay. So if there's any listeners out there which are familiar with the county areas where Jade's referring to, and you've had experiences, get in contact. Jade would like to hear if anyone has had experiences in those particular areas.
Perfect. Thank you.
And you never know. You might hear someone as soon as it goes out. Other times it might be a year later by the time someone picks up the episode and goes, "Oh, I know that area."
Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of episodes to catch up on myself. I'm still skipping around listening to stuff where that looks interesting.
Constantly coming out. I don't particularly see an end anytime soon to the show.
No. Well, I think now that the Pentagon has admitted to some things, and they've had the videos, the gimbal and the other thing, the Tic Tac videos, now people are starting to say, "Wait a minute, maybe there's some truth to this." My son included. He used to look at me like I was a wacko. He used to say, "I don't want to hear about this stuff." And if I was watching a show about it or something, he would be like, "Oh, brother." And recently, he opened his mind a little bit, you know, and let me talk a little bit about it and listened. He actually listened to what I had to say, and he didn't even know about the Tic Tac video and all that stuff, because he's totally against anything that's unexplainable. So I told him, I said, "Go look it up, go do some research." And he just was like, "Okay, I'll do it." I couldn't believe he said that. So I think a lot of people are opening their minds up now to a little more information.
You're absolutely right. And a lot more people which had no interest, or they didn't believe in this kind of thing, they are going, "Okay, well, you know, if the government is saying this, then there must be something in it." So it has helped. I don't necessarily believe everything the government is saying. You know, it's just little tidbits they're really giving us. But it is a start. And I've said it before.
It's a few sprinkles here and there.
It's a few sprinkles. And it is stepping stones. So, but it has helped. I'm not going to lie. People which weren't really interested in the subject are, like your son, are taking a bit more of a bit of an interest in the subject.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that, actually, you know, because I always felt like a crazy person all these years. You know, I used to try and make sure I didn't bring it up with someone by accident, you know, because to me, it's just normal life. So sometimes it would come up in a conversation. I'm so used to it. It's like nothing, you know, I don't even get fazed by it. And, look, another UFO. Okay. You know, let's get back to my TV show, whatever. You know, it was like nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So I've always been interested in subjects, but I've got three older brothers. and they're all sport orientated. So as you can imagine, I'm into this kind of stuff and they're just into sports. So I can totally relate to all that. So that's no problem.
The black sheep.
But they, again, you know, they are asking more questions. You know, they did before and now I've got the show. They're asking more questions and then stuff.
Really?
Like, yeah. So, yeah, it's helping. Wild. My one brother, he doesn't whistle the X-Files theme tune as much as he used to.
Oh my goodness.
And the Twilight Zone. He used to do the Twilight Zone, which he used to think was quite funny.
It's a good one.
Yeah. My favorite show.
Well, I really do appreciate, you know, you're taking the time to listen to my story and stories.
Jade, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your experiences with our listeners.
Thank you. I love your show and I'm so happy to be on here.
Wonderful. Keep listening. Okay. Take care and I'll speak to you soon.
You too. Thanks.
Okay. Bye for now, Jade.
Bye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Jade for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe. And keep watching the skies. Goodbye.